This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Hecker.
I'm Lisa Koenig.
And I'm Jasmine Garcia.
So there is a new site still under development called uncoverage.com, and it's teaming up with the Center for Public Integrity, and basically what they're going to do is, try to crowdsource funding for investigative journalism. This site believes the current model for producing investigative journalism is broken. They're going to try something new here. Crowdsourcing for investigative journalism, trying to get people to say, hey, yes, we're interested in this topic. We'll pay you some money to look into this matter. I don't know if I want to ask you if you think that can work, but what do you think of the claim that the current model for investigative journalism is broken? Do you agree with that?
I definitely agree. It costs money to produce investigative reports, and it's very labor-intensive reporting. It takes months. You need to be able to commit reporters and journalists, photographers, to months of reporting to expose wrongdoing. And right now, as we've talked about many times, a lot of news organizations are cutting staff, cutting budgets, and it's hurt investigative reporting. It hasn't done away with it, but it makes it really hard to do.
Yeah, makes it a lot more difficult to do.
I'm going to have to agree with Lisa. The business model for – I mean, there really isn't one that works for investigative journalism anymore, especially on the broadcasting side. The only time we're really going to see, at least on the local level, any investigative journalism would be during maybe a sweeps period, and that's four times a year. And is that really fair? Is that really helping our audience out at all? I mean, because it does. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of time. It does take manpower and hours to go and cover stories in depth. And most of the time, we're not seeing stories that are covered in depth. We're seeing things that maybe only scratch the surface of the issue at hand. And new staffs are increasingly being decreased. There aren't as many people out there to get the information and to go do the legwork and make those calls and talk to people. So, yeah, I don't think we see the quality of investigative journalism that maybe we once saw even 30 or 40 years ago. The only times we really see it now are on the national level with some of the NBCs and CBSs out there. And again, we're on the local level, we're just hardly ever seeing it.
So is crowdsourcing the way to perhaps pay for more investigative journalism?
I'm not going to say that uncoverage.com is definitely the right place to go because we don't know nearly enough about it yet. But I think it's an interesting idea. I think there has been at least – I think there are people noticing that their stories aren't being covered like maybe they should be. And I think this is probably why this has been created.
I think it's an interesting experiment. It's sort of like Kickstarter, which also has crowdfunded journalism projects, but I guess that's kind of a one-time thing. And it sounds like the backers of Uncoverage want to create whole series of reports about certain topics that don't just get covered one time. And so I think, good for them. I think it's great to have another experiment and to try to keep investigative reporting alive.
And one of the complaints from the people organizing Uncoverage or putting this together is that there's simply, especially online, a lot more news seems to be gravitating towards the online, and but that seems to cater towards celebrity gossip and stuff that is going to generate hits, as we've talked about on this program in the past. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I definitely think it's a smart selling point from Uncoverage. They definitely know where to hit people. When they hear about our favorite person, Miley Cyrus, a lot of people, there is some backlash now. People are saying, well, sure, she's a celebrity and that's great and all, but we want to know more about what's going on in our local government, and maybe we're not necessarily covering those stories for people like we should be. So I definitely think it's a good selling point on their part, because before we spoke, we got to listen to what their ad on Uncoverage and how they're promoting their business, and they definitely talked about that. I think it's definitely a good selling point on their part.
Yeah, the site is uncoverage.com. If somebody wants to go there and just take a quick look at it, they're not up and running fully yet, but they have a little video that sort of explains what they're trying to accomplish.
Yeah, and then when you have sites that rely on advertising, then the advertisers want big audiences, so the content has to attract a lot of hits, and so you're giving people what they want rather than what they need. And this is a model where it doesn't matter what people want. You can just go after, you know, do good journalism and maybe give people what they need, because investigative journalism really is a public service. And it can, you know, as we saw in 1974, bring down a president. So just like ProPublica, they can focus on good stories and just serving the public.
Yeah, well, as we've talked about on this program before, so much of the web seems to rely on trying to get those hits, trying to get people to click on to your station, trying to get them to click on a particular story. I mean, we just saw in recent weeks as they're out there promoting the movie Anchorman, you know, the character Ron Burgundy has actually gone on to real newscast and played the role of an anchorman, and that's getting a lot of hits, I'm sure, for that, for those TV stations, and it's getting a lot of play. But what does that do to the credibility of journalism when that seems to be what people want?
Well, I was clicking around online after that got posted to the web, and there were some journalists who were not very happy to see Will Ferrell up there anchoring a real newscast. I can see their point. You have to think about a couple of different things that could happen. I mean, first of all, what happens if breaking news, serious breaking news happens during the show and he's up there? Are you going to have him read it or sit there next to the co-anchor? And I mean, yeah, obviously she's probably going to read the story, but does your newscast now seem a little illegitimate because you have a comedian up there, you know, anchoring? And do you take him off the set? I mean, there's lots of different things that can happen during a live broadcast that I just wonder if they took that into consideration.
But does that station care? Does that station care about investigative journalism? Or do they just care about getting as many clicks on their website as possible to generate more advertising money?
I definitely think, and Rich, we've spoken about this before, when it comes especially to the TV side of the journalism business, it does seem to be a little more sensational, and it's all about us, you know, and it's about us being up there, not necessarily even sometimes our stories. I think that some stations come across more that way. I don't know the station. I don't know anyone that works there in particular. But they definitely got a lot of views when they did this, and they had a lot of people probably calling the station, taking notice of their newscast. And but is it a good thing? What, you know what I mean? Like, it's not, sometimes being in the headlines isn't for a good thing. And does it hurt your credibility? I just don't know. Anything could have happened. I just wonder what their contingency plans were in case of emergency, kind of thing.
All right. With that, we have run out of time for today. I wish happy holidays to our listeners and to both of you. And we'll be taking the next couple weeks off, but we'll be back in early January with more of Shop Talk.